from thank you, choir. We have been studying the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and then I enlarged it. We looked at a couple of stories from Joshua, which is the book that follows that in the Old Testament. And then last week we started in the book of Judges. And this is going to be the last of this series. But again, I am encouraging you all to be thinking about Old Testament stories and little nuggets. Maybe it'll encourage you to read some of the books in the Old Testament and come up with a little story. So we're going to find a little obscure story today in the book of Judges. It's about somebody that you often hear about as a biblical character, but don't explore much about. Because this particular person has an episode where he creates a riddle. Riddles are one of the earliest conundrums of our human existence. And this one is found in Judges, but long before that. Do you know what the oldest riddle is in written language? The oldest comes from ancient Sumer, which is the civilization that is found in the country of Iraq today, that has the oldest existent writing system. And this is it. There is a house, one enters it blind and comes out seeing. What is it? You gotta be louder. I mean, no, 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 no. The answer is education. Isn't that interesting? Let's go to the next one. A school. Okay? I have, since I was in third grade, I've loved riddles. Anybody like the Book of Riddles? There's a, like, what is the most difficult train to catch? The 12:10, because it's 10 to 1 if you catch it. Oh. Well, I could go on and on, but how about this collection of old riddles that some of you are familiar with? A box without hinges, key, or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid.
An egg.
Great. What has roots as nobody sees is taller than trees. Up, up it goes, and yet it never grows. Ooh, a mountain. It cannot be seen, cannot be felt, cannot be heard, cannot be smelt. It lies behind stars and under hills, and empties holes it fills. It comes first and follows after, ends life and kills laughter. What? Did he cheat again? He's killing me. Darkness. Don't do it, John. I know you're tempted. Oh, this thing all things devours. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers. Gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal. Slays kings, ruins towns, and beats high mountains down. What is it? Time. Somebody said time. All right, Rustin's back there celebrating. After his engagement party last night, he's got a winner. These were the riddles that Bilbo Baggins and Gollum exchanged, if you're a fan of The Lord of the Rings. Riddles are fascinating. They're so alluring. They challenge our brains. And there is a riddle in the Bible. In Judges chapter 14, we're going to be introduced to a character that you all are at least familiar with in name. His name is Samson, the word of the Lord. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah. When he came to the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion roared at him. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him, and he tore the lion apart barehanded, as one might tear apart a kid. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased him. After a while, he returned to marry her. He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on eating as he went. And when he came to his father and his mother, he gave them some for them to eat, and they ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as the young men were accustomed to do. And when the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. Samson said to them, "Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can explain to me within 7 days of the feast and find out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 festal garments. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linens and 30 festal garments." So they said to him, "Ask your riddle. Let us hear it." And he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet." But for 3 days, they could not explain the riddle. May God bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we unpack this riddle, a riddle that actually affects every one of our lives, help us to see you. Help us to hold to your sweetness, even in times of great heaviness, distress. To that end, take the words of my mouth and our thoughts and meditations as they're stirred, and strengthen us, God. We pray in your name. Amen. We find so much pleasure in riddles. They challenge our minds. They encourage us to put one over on a friend, create laughter or confusion. And I think we love riddles because maybe they're more manageable, solvable, than some of the real riddles that seize us in life. Some of the ones that feel out of control. I've come to feel that the riddle itself is a surprising answer to one of the most frustrating of our human experiences. Samson, he was either a bully or a bull in the China closet. But we do know one thing. If there's one thing we know about Samson, it's that he was strong. Can you imagine tearing apart a young lion? That's just one of the many things he did. But this immortal character of strength had an incredible weakness, too, that was legendary. His weakness was what? Women. Women continues to plague him all his life. Now, I don't blame the women. I blame him. He was not fair to those women. He trampled those women, including, if you'll read the end of this story this afternoon, the one in question in this tale. But we know that he entered this relationship in a foreign town. And as he was on his way to meet this, I'll imagine, beautiful woman, he encounters the lion. And it says he tore him apart like he was a little kid. A little kid is a little goat. Something easy, small. A little puppy. But he tore this mighty lion apart. And then it says, sometime later, that's a key phrase. He comes back. He's visited the woman. It says she pleased him. He's on his way back home. And he stops by, and by this time, the rotting carcass is there, and he discovers that a hive of bees has infested it. And he finds the honey, and he takes it, and he creates a little fun riddle out of it. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. So then he decides at his bridal party, at his bachelor party, if you will, that the 30 men that he challenges, he's going to share that with, having never told anyone about it. And he tells about it threatening to take life from him, this lion. But he discovers something about this lion after he's defeated it, that it actually has something good and sweet to give him. You know, it occurs to me that we, on our journeys as human beings, encounter many different kinds of lions, don't we? They're not lions like we see in the zoo, thank goodness, usually. But they are, nonetheless, overwhelming obstacles. Some continue to maim us, to maul us. Some mark us for life. Some invade whole populations like war or economic depression. Some people who live a poor and unaccomplished life meet the lions of violence and poverty and constant rejection in life. Those who live in better situations don't escape their own lions. Whether those lions be social pressure or job pressure or nerves or tension or the menace of superficiality. Have you ever felt not enough? I don't fit in? You see, every one of us travel roads where we meet lions. Some are sickness, some are bereavement, some are disappointment. Others are times when we're disillusioned. We don't achieve what we wish we could. But I have never met a human being that has not met a lion in his or her life. Some people face their lions by woefully saying, "Why me? Why must this hit me?" And others become bitter. They think, "I'm going to toughen myself so this doesn't ever happen to me again." They clench their fist against nature and they say, "Life's tough and only the tough survive." And they live by different rules, like do to the other person what he'd like to do to you, but do it to him first. Bitterness can seize us as a result of the lions that we face in life. But there are people, and you know some, who have found the secret of Samson's riddle. They've taken the lions that embrace their lives, and they find that there is honey in the lion. I think there's always honey in the lion. But we have to look for it. We as human beings are given the choice in how we respond to the lions in our lives. We either give in to it and surrender, or we say, "You know what? I'm going to take this lion and I'm going to find something that helps me to overcome, to get along with, to exist, and in fact, to persevere in spite of the lion that I face." You know, I think Jan Fraser holds the record in my 30 years of ministry of being the longest stint in the hospital. And yet today, she just finished serving a term as elder, And this wonderful newsletter that we get, keeping us connected to one another, she edits. She makes that happen. How do you take the pain and struggle and turn it into something that benefits you and benefits others? There's always honey in the lion. Consider one of the worst lions, war. Nothing good can be said for war. It's a roaring beast. It's a destructive thing. It's reckless of life. It's awful. Yet, I read one historian's perspective on World War II. He said, World War II had some honey in it. The scientists confess that we made greater progress in the development of medicine during those years than would have happened in a whole generation of peace, especially in the development of antibiotics. Havelock Ellis, the British author and psychologist, said there is nothing that war has ever achieved that we could not better achieve without it. But though that is theoretically true, and I don't seek that for any of us or anybody in the world, we just went to see a movie that Nina has been championing. It's called Capernaum, and it is some of the worst lion of poverty that I have ever seen. And it was difficult to endure the pain of this little child lost in an economy that didn't care about him, in a family that beat him up, in a world that left him alone. And yet, even in that movie, this child found some honey. I'd encourage you all to see it, but it's not for the faint of heart. It's what's going on in the world today. History has so many individuals who have found honey in the lion. Demosthenes, you remember who he was? He was the great orator. But do you remember the story that his voice was harsh and he had weak lungs, and it must have been horrible to have incredible things to say to the world, but nobody would listen to him because they laughed when he spoke. But he decided to do something about it. He would climb steep hills to strengthen his body. He put pebbles in his mouth to speak and enunciate better. He would stand at the ocean's side and speak over the waves so that he learned to project his voice. And he's considered the greatest orator of all time. Or how about John Milton? Any of you read Paradise Lost or Paradise Regained? Well, you might remember that John Milton, when he was of middle age, lost his eyesight. And he was so much in despair, he wrote these words, "When I consider how my light is spent, ere half my days in this dark world and wide." He still didn't give up. It was after his blindness that he wrote those great works of art and thought and philosophical ideology. Or how about John Bunyan? We did a sermon series a while back on Pilgrim's Progress. And you know that he wrote that book not in the luxury of a study, but rather he wrote it in jail. He was jailed for his faith during the time. Or how about Beethoven, who envisioned a career as a concert pianist, but his growing deafness drove him into composition, and his greatest works were as his hearing failed. And the immortal Ninth Symphony he wrote when he was totally deaf. He couldn't hear the notes he was writing. Or how about some of you will remember Glenn Cunningham. We don't think much of him today, but I remember as a child, I received a comic book with the Glenn Cunningham story. He was the fastest miler. And the story goes that in his childhood, he was caught in a fire in his barn. His brother died in that. His legs were so completely burned that the doctor said, "You need to amputate these legs to save his life." But he refused to do it and determined he continued. That was at the age of, I think, 8. And he continued to work until he became the fastest miler in his day, competing in the 32 and the 36 Olympics with my friend Lou Zamperini. He was an American hero of boyhood who grew up. How many of you saw him as a hero when you were younger? Raise your hands. Because there were definitely people that thought, "I wish I could do what he does." You see, he found honey in his lion. Or how about this hymn we're going to sing today, "The Old Rugged Cross"? Do you know it was written at a time when George Bernard was, or Bernard, was a struggling minister who was out having tent meetings. And he got ridiculed so badly that he felt like he was an absolute failure as a pastor. He thought his life was over, but he looked to this cross and he said, "You know what? I'm going to find in my God the strength to go on." And so although it's not in our hymnal, it is consistently ranked as one of the top 5 favorites of Americans. And we're going to sing it today. And that first verse, I want you to pay attention to, because he found strength, honey, in the carcass of the attack on his character. Well, I don't think you need too many more examples. I think you could find examples in your life. In fact, it would be a great thing if we could talk about them to others. What have you overcome? How has God worked honey in your life? It's not always by high resolves or sheer determination. Oftentimes, it's the people around us that encourage us. I could not have raised myself. But thank goodness there were men and women in my church that my mom put me in touch with that were examples of how I wanted to live. So as a junior, I started a dumb Bible study at my school. None of my church folk went to my school, so I didn't have anybody to plan with. It was 3 sophomores that came to the Bible study regularly. I couldn't convince anybody else. I felt like a failure as a Bible teacher. But I persevered. And I think what that did is strengthen me, even though I wouldn't tell you, have told you in my junior and then senior life that that was an example of a failure. But it wasn't. Every step moved me toward God. Sometimes our own strength gets in the way of us seeing what can be honey. You know, the Apostle Paul asked God 3 times to remove some plague. We don't know what it is. We've discussed many things in the Christian world. Eyesight or weakness or something. We'll never know this side of heaven, this side of meeting Paul sometime. But Paul writes these words. He says, "I received an answer to my question. Why? And the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Wow. Have you ever considered that in your life? You see, we have to go after the honey. It doesn't just come to us. I imagine when Samson scooped in, if anything, he had to avoid a few bees getting enraged and maybe a few stings as he reached in. But that didn't stop him because the sweetness of the honey was right there. Now, let me be clear. Sometimes it takes a good amount of time. It says after a while he came back. After the lions had wounded us and we had to nurse our healings, we can look back and find honey. You may have just gone through something, or maybe you're going through something. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's an economic issue. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one or a concern. Maybe it's a job issue. And we can't see right now how this could work in our favor in any way. But at some point, we need to say, God, take the experiences that you give me, and may they help me discover honey for my life. Amen.